This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I have a very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are down, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey everybody, Tim Kawakami here. We are recording the 49ers Plus Minus show. We'll call this our off-season predictions episode. Always so great prediction during the season. Well, I am, at least. I don't know about Matt Barrows, my co-host. I think we proved who was the better predictor last season. We shall see. Well, I just picked everything negative. I went everything lower in the off-season prediction, in the regular season prediction, and I hit everything low. Everything went under, and I hit every single one of them that I went under with. Barrows, you nutty optimist. You'll show your stripes here in the off-season. This is where you excel because you're Mr. Draft, you're Mr. all that stuff. So we'll see how we do in the off-season predictions here. Anything else? Anything you want to start this with, Barrows? Any larger topics that we need to address right in the beginning?
Well, you were just writing about Deebo Samuel. I mean, that's going to be probably a big topic at the upcoming scouting combine, whether they can move him or not. I'm skeptical about it. To me, it kind of feels like their Jimmy Garoppolo quest from a few years ago, where they were just, very positive about being able to trade the guy. He's a great quarterback for us. We think we're going to get something for him. And it didn't happen. So I don't know. I just have that sense. Who's going to fork something over for Deebo Samuel when they think that the 49ers might release him anyway? So,
and what pick does it take for the 49ers to do that when they're going to get a $30 million cap hit if they do it then, as opposed to the June 1 post designation of a release? And then you get to take it in two bites instead of one massive bite. So I think that is just like, what would you need to get? You need to get a third round pick, right? To take that hit, at least a third round pick, maybe a third that can turn into a second. And there was nobody, Matt Barrows, that is giving. Nobody did it last year. I think they would have loved to do it last year. Part of what I wrote and part of what I've been hearing are there are regrets about the way they've handled some things, you know, not like everything in the stupidest thing ever, but just kind of the way they've leaned to try to, you know, bring in Ayuk, to bring in Deebo a couple years ago, even the Bosa contract. Now, we certainly know maybe not the general manager is at that point. I want to say that. But there are other people who just don't like setting precedents with deals and think they got beat on a lot of deals. And if you're 6-11, it's different. You look at it differently than if you're in the conference championship game or you're in the Super Bowl, if you led the Super Bowl. And I think there's going to be some revising on the way they do this. That was kind of what I was trying to get at. It's hard line. It's like, this is not a team that will accept a 20 pounds overweight receiver and be happily paying him more money. So that's generally the theme of what I wrote. I've definitely sensed it. I sensed it even in the search for defensive coordinator, and they paid a lot of money to Robert Saleh, but they had to get Robert Saleh. They weren't going to go some other experimental way. It had to be Robert Saleh, and they did get him. They almost didn't, but they had to get Robert Saleh. Anything you want to fill in there, Barros, or anything?
Well, only that in their defense, I mean, these players kind of put them in an impossible situation where they had these amazing years, yep. right? You know, before their contracts were up. So, I mean, you can't part ways with Deebo Samuel after his 2021 season.
They thought about it.
The argument is that what are you doing? This guy was your team last year. And Brandon Ayuk had an amazing 2023 season. And Nick Bosa had an amazing whatever his great season was.
When NFL Defensive Player of the Year.
NFL Defensive Player of the Year. They've been put in the bind. They would have been raked over the coals had they, you know, not been able to do a deal, had they, you know, traded or cut one of these guys. And so this is the result of that.
That's a great point. Great point. And they're chasing a Super Bowl. And I said they were trying to chase a Super Bowl while Brock Purdy was on a rookie deal, or on the lowest of rookie deals. And that's changing. And I think some of this reflects that, not necessarily as a cap hit, although that's down the road because we know they can suppress the early year cap hits, but in cash. Like, they're going to have to pay Brock Purdy like an $80 million signing, you know, right off the bat. Like, here's $80 million or in a couple of stages. And it's up to Jed York how much he wants to take of that. Do you want to add a $15.4 million option bonus to Deebo Samuel owed March 22? No, he does not. Like, you know, it's just a matter of what's in your pocket, Barros, and what can you afford? You know, it's literally what that gets down to. What do you want to pay? What do you want to get yourself involved with? And I think the Deebo Samuel just thing comes up. And yeah, I don't want to make it. They were chasing the Super Bowl. You had to do certain things. Now, the Ayuk thing, that one, I think they really regret not trading him. I think they're still upset about the way that unfolded. Now you can't trade him now because he signed. But I just think there's some – I just heard – not bad decisions isn't the words I've heard, but just decisions that weren't great.
Regrettable decisions.
Regrettable decisions. And I've heard that a couple times. And I think the Deebo thing is the first time that they have a chance to, you know, they're acting on one of those regrettable decisions. And the Deebo thing is probably a double regrettable, that they paid them what they did 2 years ago and then they didn't trade them last year. And I think they really did. You know, Mike Silver, who's now your colleague, kept reporting it, and it was certainly true. Like, they were interested in trading Deebo during the draft. They just didn't get anything that they wanted. I don't think they're going to get anything. I mean, they'd obviously be offered even less now. So this, the likelihood is that he gets released before March 22. And by the way, so this has crept up on me. The combine is next week, right? Is that?
Yes. And I've got some aggregation news for you. I mean, the 49ers have been a team in which the head coach never shows up to these things. Mm-hmm. But I've heard that at least Kyle Shanahan is likely, I'd say, to go. I don't think it's in stone yet, but I think this is a result of, you know, Shanahan having an extra month. So they're ahead of the game compared to previous seasons as far as him and his coaching staff kind of researching some of these guys. And they have the number 11 pick. I mean, they haven't had a first round pick and a while, or they had one last year, but it was so late. They haven't had a high first round pick since Nick Bosa. Might show up in Indianapolis.
I'm going to aggregate that one. Wow, that's a good one, Barros. Kyle Shanahan bouncing around Indianapolis for the combine. Would there be like a Tuesday presser, at least with Lynch for sure? I imagine Kyle will do something too. Like
Lynch is supposed to go on Wednesday, which ruined my plans. I like to get out of there as fast as possible. So I've got to stay an extra day for Lynch. I don't know if or when Shanahan is speaking, if he's not on the schedule right now. So like I said, it's still a bit up in the air, but
I just say, man, that fits kind of what, like, again, you're right. It's because they didn't go to the Super Bowl. He's not, you know, just completely exhausted and he can get to the combine. But we know he does not like the combine, right? We know that. That's not his thing. I just think this is shaping up as a season that's a little different. that isn't the regular stuff isn't going to be done. And Kyle Shanahan going, well, 6-11 means you should. Like, you didn't go to the Super Bowl, right? You earned your right to skip the combine by going to the Super Bowl or going to the NFC Championship game. That wasn't earned this year. And you could say, what the hell is Jed York or whoever else, you know, dictating some things? I don't think it's dictation. I just think it's everyone there is understanding things have to be a little different. The things that you've done the last few years are not going to be accepted as no matter what. Yes, you've done them the last few years. Things are going to be examined. And Kyle Shanahan, and I assume his coaching staff too, right, are probably.
I don't know about that. But I agree with you. This is an inflection point year. They're moving on from Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel was synonymous with the 49ers for the last few years. I mean, he's one of the most popular players on the team among the fan base.
And the locker room.
And in the locker room. Children know Deebo. I mean, he's very popular among kids, which is sort of ironic because he's got this gruff, you know, combative demeanor. But, young fans have loved him. Yeah, so it does make sense. It brings up all sorts of questions about your point about, you know, things have to be different. It's a good one. But they did go back to the same defensive coordinator that they had previously. I do think that comes with an asterisk. Like, okay, you're back. We want this, you know, this defense to be like it was in 2019. But we want there to be some differences, too. We want this defense to be able to do more things, a variety of things, so that if Nick Bosa is out with an oblique injury for 3 weeks, we're not still kind of relying on the same type of defense that we would run if he were in the lineup. So I wonder whether that's sort of the Gus Bradley addition, whether he and Saleh are going to, you know, that's their offseason task to kind of figure out what else can this defense do well. You don't have to rely on two really excellent edge rushers for all your pressure. What if one of those guys is absent? Yep. I do think that's going to happen. I'm curious about the degree with which it'll happen. They have to practice it. So it's something to kind of watch out for when they begin practicing in May, whether they are working on these blitz schemes. I mean, that's why the Chiefs blitzes are so effective. They practice them. and that's not something that the 49ers do a whole lot.
Also be interesting if Saleh's in Indianapolis. I would assume, I said coaches, you know, at the very least, you'd think if they're going to think about taking a defensive player at 11, which I think they really are, maybe you need Saleh there. Saleh's going to be super highly paid. He's running the defense. You kind of want him to, you know, get a feel and get to know the top candidates at 11. So if he's not there, Deb, I think he'll be there. My guess is that Saleh and most of the assistant coaches will be there. I do think they want more investment just in time and energy over the draft. Now, they did very well without going to the combine last year, but the coaching staff, I mean. But like, they've had some years where this hasn't worked, and maybe the coaching staff not being there is slight percentage of it. It just really does. I did not know you were going to say that, but Shanahan at the combine really does strike to the points I've been hearing that this is a different offseason, and this, they want it to feel different. They want the season to feel different. And already is Deebo Samuel exiting the team, Kyle Shanahan at the combine. That's two pretty interesting different.
Well, you know, it's almost a top 10 pick. I mean, they're one away from having a top 10 pick. You've got to take that seriously. You're not going to, you know, ideally, you're not going to have that opportunity very often.
And they could trade a pick to move up, right? I mean, at 11, you are at a launch pad. Last time they had a pick similar to that was when they had 12, and they moved up to 3 to take Trey Lance. So I don't think.
Well, what are you suggesting? What are you hearing?
I don't think you're going to duplicate that. But
Shadur Sanders coming to the 49ers.
11 is an interesting.
This is a great aggregation. This is even better.
We are just lighting it up. We're just lighting it up. Well, I don't know that people will aggregate our offseason predictions. Maybe they will. Who knows? I'm getting aggregated like hell this morning, Barrows. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But that, not ridiculous. It's an honor. I won't be mean. They're seeing interesting things in my column.
Hey, imitation is the finest form of flattery.
I don't know if it leads to a lot of money, but that's okay. It's reputation currency or whatever it is. All right, let's do our offseason predictions. We'll write them down. We'll keep track of them. And by the end of the offseason, we'll go back over and see how we did. I usually write a column with this. things got all jumbled up. Maybe I'll still write a column, but it's a little late for that now. So I might not. I tend to do not so good, and it's tough, really, because, you know, it's tough to just figure out who they're going to draft and who they're going to sign. These things are surprising for a reason, but we'll try it anyway here. Barros, let's do the first one. We've been talking about Brock Purdy. We know it's the number one issue that they're facing this offseason. First question that we've got, when will Brock Purdy sign?
I'm going with tax day, which is April 15. And it's not only tax day, but it's usually when the off-season program begins. And that's the date that Brock Purdy he didn't circle it, but he suggested on locker room cleanout day that he'd like this deal, you know, he'd like to come in for the off-season program and basically, you know, have a lot of guys there and to lead this team. So that I think that's really optimistic. I'm probably wrong on that, but if it is this turn a new leaf over sentiment that you've been suggesting, then I think the 49ers will be motivated to do that as well. So wouldn't that be a nice, you know, early spring present for all of us if it got done in mid-April?
I'm going to top you on this with your giddy optimism about this. I'm going to say April 2nd. It feels early. I understand. The only reason I don't go later in April is because April 15, they're kind of in the middle of the draft stuff, right? I mean, they are in the middle of the draft. And obviously, John Lynch and his personal staff are not doing the contract. But Lynch is going to be part of the Purdy contract, obviously. And if he's going to pro days and he's, you know, trying to figure out how the draft's going to go and draft meetings, he just – some of that time's gone. It's like, I think they might want to have this done, like, in between – free agency, which we know is like March 14 for a week or so, and the draft, which really revs up, you know, middle of April. I mean, it really gets intense middle of April, and you got the 11 pick and whatever moves you want to make. So I say they might want to get it done right in that little area between. So I'll say April 2nd. Again, I know it feels early because these things take a while. These talks get thorny no matter what with the money that they're talking about, but God, you get after the draft, Barros, then you start talking minicamp, you start talking OTAs, and then there's going to be pressure. I don't think they want that. I think the Ayuk thing, I've heard over and over again, they felt the pressure was just, they hated that, the pressure that he was putting on them, the pressure that they felt. You got this Super Bowl team, you got this young quarterback, you got to get him in, got to get him in. And they never wanted to go to 30, ever, 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 ever wanted to go to $30 million a year. You start getting that, like, you need your quarterback in, you got to get your quarterback in. I think they want to avoid that. Doesn't mean they will, but I'll just say to try to avoid all that, and you make your best offer late March, and you hammer it out and get it done April 2. We might both look really, really stupid saying April, by the way, Barros. But
oh yeah, I'm prepared. I'm prepared to expunge this.
Okay, Barros. The average annual value, whenever it happens, what's Purdy's AAV going to be?
I think it'll be. I'm going to go really precise here. 57.5.
Wow, that's high. That is high.
Well. The reason I come up with that number is I think Jared Goff's was 55. Mm-hmm. And so you factor for inflation, you know, you factor for the rise in the salary cap this year versus whenever Goff did his deal. And that's the number you wind up with. I just can't see the agent settling for anything less than what some of these other guys got. I mean, I don't think it's going to be Dak Prescott number, but that tier seems, you know, we accurately predicted the tier for Ayuk last year. We all had the number that they ultimately wound up at. It just took a lot longer than we thought, but the actual number was, you know, basically what everybody thought from the get-go. So that's how I'm sort of approaching this number. You're going to go lower, aren't you?
I'm going to go lower, yeah. You're right about inflation. You're right about some other numbers. But I just don't think they're going to get even close to Prescott 60. I don't think they want to get anywhere near that because he couldn't get franchise tagged. He's a more veteran. The whole thing kind of routed around them being able to have Dak Prescott long term. They still have the franchise tag for Purdy. They can do other things down the road. I think there's going to be some motivation in his camp, maybe not the agent, but in his camp to just get this done. If they get to a decent number, I keep going back to Jalen Hurts, 51. That's where he was at, 51. I'm going to 52. Maybe that's a little low, but if you go 52, you give him a nice guaranteed bump. You go 4 years and you can redo it again in three when he's only going to be 28. It just feels like that's the way. It's kind of a Jordan Love number. I think Love is a little higher. I just think I don't see the 49ers going into anywhere near Dak Prescott. Just with that feeling in my mind, because he had other hammers on the Cowboys that Purdy doesn't quite have, I'll go $52 million a year. Again, that might be low.
That's at odds with your April 2 optimism.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. It's like it depends. The shape of this contract could be right. It could feel different. It could be a shorter term, higher AAV. You know, there could be other ways. That's why AAV is tough to deal with because, you know, it depends on what the guaranteed money is. It depends on what the option bonuses are, all those things. I think the feel of it will be the Jalen Hurts deal. Now, whether I'm low on that because I'm low on that because of other things. But I think the feel of it will be like what the Jalen Hurts was. And Hurts did not come close to getting top AAV when he signed it 2 years ago. I don't think Purdy is in going to be chasing that. And I don't think he's going to be getting it. So we'll see. We could both be wrong. We're probably going to be right in the middle of that, actually, right? 57.5 and 52. 55,
yeah, probably 55. Yeah.
55 sounds right. But I'm glad we're on opposite ends on that. So one of us could look stupid. Next question. What team will Debo end up with?
This is hard to predict. It's going to depend on, you know, market and who wants him the most. And, you know, a team that has been after wide receivers and after 49ers wide receivers is the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that just jumps out to me. Ayuk expressed a desire to play for Mike Tomlin. I'm sure he shared that with Debo at some point. I think, you know, Debo will remind the fan base of Hines Ward, sort of a kind of gritty over the middle tackle breaking wide receiver. That's my guess. I don't have any real kind of reporting basis for that other than, yeah, I think that the Steelers could stand to use or bring in an additional wide receiver opposite George Pickens. And that's sort of, I think, what Samuel should be looking for. He excelled when he was opposite a really good, very technical wide receiver in Ayuk. And I know Pickens isn't quite that, but I think that's the scenario that Samuel should be looking for. The Commanders would be a good, him opposite Terry McLaurin, that would be a really nice mixture as well. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's some scenario like that.
I made my predictions and wrote them down before we did this just to make sure I didn't get affected by you or change. Guess what? I said Pittsburgh Steelers. It does make a lot of sense. He does seem like a nice combination. Pickens is kind of downfield playmaker, and Debo worked the underneath. I don't know who their quarterback's going to be, whether it's Russell Wilson or Justin Fields or however they go. But Debo's really good if you're not sure about your quarterback, right? Jimmy Garoppolo just threw the ball 1 yard to Debo and go. And Purdy, who, as you keep pointing out, does like to go downfield more, maybe wasn't as good with Debo and is better with Ayuk, is better with, like, George Kittle gets downfield. He's like one of their best downfield receivers, and Debo's not that guy. So, like, say it's Justin Fields. Like, you're going to want a quarterback-friendly receiver and just so he can just dump it out and let him make a play. So I'll go there. One little sneaking one, just because I don't know what they're doing, Carolina Panthers. Just get Debo closer to, his where he grew up, closer to where he hangs out. I don't know, will he want to go to a team that's not very good, but kind of a burgeoning young team, would get all the balls he wants. He wouldn't have to complain about that Baker Mayfield. Good Baker Mayfield? Who's their quarterback? No, I'm sorry. It's It's friggin' Bryce Young, a good young quarterback.
Yeah, who started last year. Yeah.
Why was I thinking Baker Mayfield? Whatever. He used to be there. But just a guy that, you know, feed him the ball and let him go. I could see that as a kind of a interesting kind of safe place for Debo to kind of build those numbers up again. But
do you think that Debo is going to have a big year? Like, you know, everything – anytime that Debo really is challenged, he does tend to rise to the occasion. Yep. Although, of course, it didn't happen very often last year. But you could see a scenario where, okay, they're making a big deal about my weight. I'm going to be 215 pounds this year. I'm going to be great.
Yeah, I could see that. He's that kind of guy. Apparently, he wants to show me, according to social media, which is fine. I understand it. Wasn't denying
That's
it.
Great motivation.
I motivate the hell out of Barrows. But, yeah, he could have – I mean, he's a really talented guy. We saw in that Miami game. I think the speed is only going to get worse, though. That's going to be the problem. Like, he's never going to get that speed back, and it was never top-end speed anyway. So I think it will be hit and miss. He'll have a couple plays, but I just don't see him – he's not getting back to 2021. That is gone. He can get closer to that, but what we saw of him, I think, is largely who he is now, but maybe a little bit more, a little sharper than he was last year. But you can't just snap your finger and say, that's not who I am. What you put on film is who you are, mainly. So I could see him having a better year than he had last year. I would hope he would. He's too talented to be like that. But other thing, I made a reference to Super Bowl, you know, 11 targets, 3 catches, 33 yards. That still is brought up in 49ers headquarters. They did not like what happened there. Now, that's their own fault. Kyle Shanahan's fault. Brock Purdy's fault for continuing to pound the ball to Debo. He did not deliver for them there. And wasn't he out at the end of the game? There are things that they thought were signs there that they should have picked up on. Not everybody, again, I'm not saying everybody in the building, I'm saying some people in the building that were signs of a decline when they really wanted to get him the ball. Kyle really wanted to get him the ball and couldn't get him the ball. And whether that's all Debo's fault or all anyone's fault, I don't know. But I just think there's a decline, and a 29-year-old receiver is hard to say, okay, now I'm great again. It's very tough to do. So we'll see. And Debo will show me, and I'll say it. If he shows me I was wrong, I'll absolutely – Debo, all the Debo fans, I will absolutely acknowledge it if I'm wrong. 100%.
I like being on Debo's team against Tim Kawakami. me and Debo versus TK. I like
that. Oh, I don't know. I'll show you. We were going to do surprise move of the offseason, but I don't really feel that. Like, you know, cut, surprise. I don't know. You got anything? I think we might skip this. It's hard to
– Yeah, I mean
– Debo would have been the one, but he's not even that big a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, they asked Kyle Juszczyk for the pay cut last year.
Might do it again.
They might do it again. He's still making a lot of money for a fullback, but he's still valuable. I don't know if his performance has dipped at all over the last few years. So I don't know. It's probably not a good answer for that one. We would both be wrong on that.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe like George Kittle doesn't get an extension, but he should. Like, you know, if you're down on Debo or, you know, for not being in shape or not practicing hard or whatever, Kittle does all those things. Like, you want to reward that. I don't know that you need to give him a world record contract, but I think you should. There's, you know, they could franchise tag him at the end of the year, whatever. There's elements that they can still use, but I do think you want to reward him and Fred Warner. Like, you should not mess with those two guys. Fred Warner, George Kittle. Don't screw around with those two guys, and I don't think they will.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, next question, since we had no answer for that one. Who's a potential big addition this offseason from another team, whether it's by trade or by free agency or whatever? Who would you list as a potential big addition?
I'm going to go with Drew Dolman, center from the Falcons. It would be a sort of Weston Richburg type of move. We know that Kyle Shanahan really values that center position. We know that Dolman is one of the best centers in the league. I think he's only 26. He's from Salinas. His dad played for the 49ers. He played at Stanford. You know,
is he as good as Richburg was back then?
What's that?
Was he as good as Richburg was? Richburg was a pretty like well sought after guy.
I don't think it's quite that good. I know that he was a fourth round pick. I think Richburg was a second round pick. I forget.
They paid a lot for Richburg, is what I remember.
They paid a lot, and it didn't work out. He had a torn patellar tendon that basically cost him his career. What was he going to say? Oh, I do think that the 49ers had him on their radar when he came out in the draft. Stanford guy, that makes sense, but he just has the traits. He can move. He's got good, not great size. He can move. That's what sets him apart. My caution to that is that they already brought in his backup in Atlanta, Matt Hennessy. Matt Hennessy would be really disappointed if they made that move. So they may be thinking, okay, let's just see what we have between Brendel and Hennessy, and we'll go with that for 2025, and we won't spend big at this position.
Interesting. They definitely need interior linemen, so I would not at all be surprised if they worked that pretty heavily. And their veterans are always better with the Shanahan offense because the rookies are having a hard time figuring it out. Mine will be, this person has not been cut yet, but he's been suggested as someone who could be cut. Seattle Seahawks are in a bit of a cap bind. How about Tyler Lockett? Like, you know, I don't think you got to go searching for the Debo replacement, but he'd be a pretty good Debo replacement. And if he's released, you don't have to pay him top end money. The numbers aren't great, but you're not looking, you know, you're not going to get one of those guys in this market unless you're going to go for T. Higgins, and they're not going to be able to afford T. Higgins. Lockett's a guy who's always hurt the 49ers. He's got great speed still as a veteran. He could be your Ricky Pearsall insurance. Like, he's basically Ricky Pearsall with more speed, I think. And until Pearsall gets up to full speed as an NFL veteran, you just put Lockett in there as, you know, and also for waiting for Ayuk. He could be your, you know, receiver two, and then moves to receiver three, maybe then receiver four eventually. But I just like, he's a tough veteran. I just have always liked Lockett. I've always liked him. I think he makes big plays. He doesn't go for 6 for 160 and 2 touchdowns. But I think with Brock Purdy, with a really nice offensive game plan, I like Tyler Lockett a lot. Now, that, he hasn't been cut yet. Still don't know. But that's a guy, if I'm the 49ers, I'd be very interested in.
Yeah, he's sort of been phased out by Jackson Smith and Jigba up there. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of wide receivers of sort of that ilk. Guys who are, you know, past their prime but still productive. Big names and guys that you would think could sort of fill in while Ayuk is still kind of finding his way back from the injury. Amari Cooper always kind of jumps out to me just because I think the 49ers were interested in him, by an Ayuk trade last summer. Keenan Allen, Cal guy. I remember him coming to the local workout here when it was his time for the draft. He would be a real quarterback-friendly wide receiver. Devontae Adams is interesting, although I sort of see him going to Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers. Seems like the best bet for him. They're going to have a lot of options, but I do think that they need to bring in at least one veteran receiver. Are they going to bring back your guy Conway?
Chris Conley.
Sorry.
Jesus. Kittle mentioned him in that USA Today interview. It was like, oh, and we still have Chris Conley. I don't know. Do they? His shot was last year when everybody was not playing well, and he still didn't play very much. So he's my guy. Time might have passed him by, as depth as someone that in training camp. I think he's always useful for that. Maybe he can make a couple catches or two as your, fifth receiver down the road. He plays special teams, but if it was going to happen for him, I think it would have happened last year, and it just did not happen. After, like, obviously making big catches in the post, at least one huge catch in the postseason previous year, I thought that, okay, here's a guy. Then Ayuk gets hurt, and they can't count on Ronnie Bell, and there's other – and then it's still – they did not go to him. So maybe not for him. But I do think they need a couple receivers for depth, especially while Ayuk is making his way back. I think you're going to sign one or two, and you're going to draft one somewhere in there. You just need bodies because we know receivers get hurt. Receivers get absolutely hurt. And we don't know when Ayuk will be back. We don't know whether he's going to go full speed when he's back, and he might get hurt again. Like, just receivers get hurt in this world. So veteran receiver, draft receiver is what I would say. All right, the big one. Everyone wants to know, Barros. We're saying this on February 20th, so our decisions could change based on what we hear from the combine, what we hear from pro days, what we hear leading up to the actual draft. At this point in 2021, 49ers didn't even have the third pick because they made that trade, like, what, late February, I think?
Yeah.
So who knows what they could do. But who was your prediction for the 49ers' first round pick?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, they could really stand to bulk up their defensive line, and they could really stand to add an offensive tackle, which is why I'm going with neither of those positions. I'm going with Tyler Warren.
There you go.
From Penn State. And I think I've got a really good argument for it. And it basically touches on everything we've been talking about. They're moving on from Debo. Brandon Ayuk is going to be slow to come back, likely. This team is transitioning. And, you know, Debo was sort of a jack of all trades for this team, sort of an unpredictable element to the 49ers. And Tyler Warren would give the 49ers that element. Different position, different type of player for sure, but he's a chess piece. And obviously the Nittany Lions used him as such, moved him all around that offense, and he was their offense. He was to the Nittany Lions in 2024 what Debo was to the 49ers in 2021. You know, if you moved on from Juszczyk, he's a guy that can play in the backfield. I think that if you're thinking about a big extension for George Kittle, this is almost Kittle protection in a way. Not only is he somebody that can play tight end for Kittle if Kittle has to miss games, and Kittle misses a few games every year, but he can elongate Kittle's career by playing a lot of those inline snaps that Kittle plays. So I just think it makes a ton of sense. He would be really a quarterback-friendly player for Brock Purdy, who you're signing to a $57.5 million extension.
On April 15th.
It just makes a lot of sense to me. And the counter argument is that, Matt, they have a tight end. Why are you doubling up at a position when they have so many others? It's for everything I just said, plus the fact that there's no just perfect candidate at 11 at one of those other spots that I mentioned.
I agree with almost everything you said, and I might be able to be talked into Tyler Warren. I've said it in the past on, I think it's on this podcast. He scores touchdowns. Like, that is what they really miss. Now, McCaffrey being healthy, if he is, should change a lot of that, but they still need guys who get into the end zone, score touchdowns. And that guy does it as a Wildcat quarterback. He does it as an athletic receiver. You could see him two tight end sets. Defenses won't know what to do. He's a physical guy. I don't know that if he's known as a run blocker, but he's more of a run blocker than what that, you know, Loveland from Michigan, I think, is almost like a.
Yeah, you know, he's not quite as big. You know, yeah.
I could be at 11. He might be the best player available. Like, he really might. Like, you talk, if they need a star, they need stars to go into the future who are on the level of Bosa and McCaffrey and Kittle. Warren might be that guy. Like, he really feels like a star to me. I sense they do not want to go offense at 11, though. I really have heard that they feel like the defense needs restocking, specifically the defensive line. We know their hole at defensive tackle. You're right. I don't have a perfect candidate for them at 11 for this. Mason Graham, as you noted, is my guy, the Michigan defensive tackle. I don't think they can get, even in the trade, get up high enough to get him. I think he is an NFL Pro Bowl defensive tackle, walks into it as that. I don't think they're going to get him. I don't think that kind of guy is going to be available at 11. I don't think they can move up to get, you know, is Will Campbell at tackle? Can they move up? Do they? I don't feel like the 49ers are the team that will trade up for an offensive tackle. I just don't feel that unless they think he's absolutely a Hall of Famer. And I don't think Will Campbell is that guy. He's kind of like, yeah, he can play tackle in the NFL. That's not what they will do to trade up. They might not even do that at 11. So I'm going to go defensive tackle. I don't love this. Maybe you move down with somebody trying to move up for Genty, or maybe somebody moving up for Warren, you know, and get yourself an extra third, get yourself some extra picks, go down to 14, 15 or whatever. And I'll go Walter Nolan, the defensive tackle, Ole Miss, real athletic, three technique. You know, you could see Chris Kocurek saying this is a guy who can really make a difference for us, but they thought Hargrave could be. And he just got hurt. What they wanted, Kinlaw was a bigger dude, I think. You know, he was more, he was supposed to be explosive. He just never was because of that knee. I just see them, okay, let's just take a defensive tackle in a way that they don't at other positions, right? They don't just say, okay, we'll just take an offensive lineman. They don't do that. They say, we need the best player available. Well, at defensive tackle, they go, okay, let's just take him. And it's not super exciting because I don't think Nolan's going to be a star. I just think he's going to be a good player, and they need good players at that. You know, they don't have one at that position, right? They don't have a good player at defensive tackle right now. They have them at most other positions. So I'll go Nolan. They might fall in love with someone else. I was tempted by Shamar Stewart, defensive end, Texas A&M, because he's a big defensive end. Like, that's their kind of guy, get pressure and be big and hold that edge. I think 11's a little high for him. I think Nolan might be if they're staying at 11, I'll think they're going to take the best defensive tackle they like the most, and I'll go Walter Nolan.
I wrote a piece on breaking down the traits that they like at every spot. Who's the prototype in this draft for each position? And the guy that I picked at defensive tackle was Walter Nolan, because he is so quick and so powerful. And he penetrates, and that's what the 49ers like at that position. So I like that pick. My counter argument for that is that this draft is really deep at defensive tackle, and that somebody that you could get in the second round probably isn't too far away from Walter Nolan. And I just wonder whether that will be part of their calculus, that we're not going to get a star defensive tackle and defensive at number 11. So let's just get somebody who kind of fits our system in the second round or third round. It's a deep, deep draft at defensive tackle.
I can see that. Yeah. And then maybe that's how they go Tyler Warren, right? At 11. Like,
well,
get
yeah.
Best player. And then we'll take care of tackle later. Now they got other positions they got to take care of. So you can't just keep saying, we'll take care of. But I see that they're going to fall in love with somebody. That's my guess. One of those defensive tackles, I'll just say he's head and shoulders better. I'm not sure which one. It could be the guy from Oregon. It could be someone else. But the other Michigan defensive tackle, or maybe they feel like they can make a move and go get Mason Graham. I don't know. But I see what you're saying. Man, I am tempted to get moved down the Tyler Warren Avenue. I really am, because I could see Kyle Shanahan going, my God, this guy. I'm gonna move up and down the field with this guy. So, but we'll see. We got some time as of this moment. I'll say Walter Nolan, and we'll see if I might have to change that. All right, this one's even harder. We'll finish it off. This is the Matt Barrows signature. Who will be their second round pick, Barrows?
I can see two guys here: Darius Alexander, who's a defensive tackle from Toledo, who's not that far off of Walter Nolan, a little bit different type of body type. He's sort of the Javon Hargrave body mm-hmm. type. But just really quick off the line, I think that Chris Kocurek will really like him. But the guy that I'm going to take there, I think that if it's not Tyler Warren at 11, it'll be Michael, I don't know how to say his first name, Williams from Georgia, who's a defensive end prospect. Not the perfect prospect, but would finally end the 49ers' search of trying to find that bookend for Nick Bosa. But if they did go Warren at number 11, I think JT Tuimoloau from Ohio State, who was taught by Larry Johnson at Ohio State, the same guy who Nick Bosa just worships and credits to, you know, his high floor coming into the NFL. Big guy, athletic guy, three down guy. I think that he would be a really nice pick there. And then we sort of make up for the Drake Jackson second round pick from a few years ago. This is a bigger, stronger, certainly more experienced guy who, by the way, really came on at the end of the season as Ohio State's going through the playoffs there. I think he had like 4.5 sacks in the playoffs alone. You know, was getting stronger as the year went on. And I think he's coming in with a lot of momentum.
I think either one of those Ohio State defensemen, like isn't Jack Sawyers kind of in that range too?
Yep.
Not as athletic, but he would hold the edge, right? That guy would hold the edge. And you could just see a bookend with both guys. JT's like, that guy just makes plays. I just, you know, you almost go like, why isn't he making more plays? He's so athletic. He's got long arms, but and he's like a playmaker. Either one of them, I have. There you go, Barros. You're nailing it with a second round. I just wrote down the Oregon offensive tackle, Josh Connerly. I don't know if he will be there. It's pretty late for him. I'm just trying to find a tackle that fits their dimensions. He's a long, lanky, as all those Oregon guys are. Like that's what they need. They need size out of their tackles. They need someone who could stretch and get athletic. And I'll just like, I just went, okay, Oregon tackle who's supposed to be like the fourth tackle taken. That might be a little bit of a stretch at their second round pick, but you know, it's 11th pick of the second round. So it's not like terrible. What is that? It's going to be, what is their second round pick number?
43, 44,
something like that.
Well, it might be 42 because I think they flop with the Cowboys. Okay.
So like, this is not a terrible spot for this guy to go. And I just went size. I took a look at a couple things. He looked like he's got arm length. We know how obsessed they are with that. And I get it. I don't disagree with them. When I see guys with shorter arms on screen, it just looks like they don't look like tackles. And this guy feels like a tackle to me. I think he's like 6'5", 315. I'll put him in there for lack of other option. I do think they need to take a tackle in the first few rounds. I've said it a million times. And you know, even some guys they kind of poo-pooed wouldn't be terrible to have on the team right now. Roger Rosengarten is the name I keep going to. It's like, I don't think he's going to be a great NFL player, but he's a guy they'd like to have right now. I really do. Going into his second season, he's a guy you can just go, okay, we're okay at this position. And I don't know that Josh Connerly is that guy, but feels like it. I'll just say, just for lack of a better answer, I'll go, I like your answer better. Like it's more fun thing to write. But I do think they need to address offensive line, you know, various ways this offseason. And one of the first two picks, at least the first three picks, but I'll say first two picks because that's, again, top 50. Use a top 50 pick on an offensive lineman. And if you're going to do that, make it be a guy you could see playing tackle and not guard.
You mentioned Roger Rosengarten. There's a prospect in this year's draft who has a lot of the same qualities. His name is Chase Lunt. LUNDT from UConn. And Dane Brugler tells me he's a fourth round pick. But the 49ers have that compensatory third. I wonder whether that would be a spot for this guy who's really, really great on the run, just super athletic, needs to get bigger and stronger. And so, you know, is a developmental prospect, could be your swing tackle in 2025 and then take over at one of those spots after that. But he's got some Rosengarten traits to him and probably moves better than Rosengarten did. And that's paramount for the 49ers at that position.
Get a tackle, guys. Get a tackle. All right, anything else you got? Those are our off-season predictions. You want to go through it real quick? When will Brock Purdy sign? Barrow says April 15. I say April 2nd. I think we're both wrong there.
Yeah, probably June 5.
Yeah, that'd be something. Who's their starter? Who's their quarterbacks in minicamp then? I don't even want to go through it. Average annual value for the Purdy deal. Barrow says 57.5 million. I say 52 million. Big gap there. So we have the chance to be really right or really wrong. What team will Debo end up with? Barrow says Pittsburgh. I say Pittsburgh. Surprise move. We kind of passed on that one. Possible prediction for the big addition in the offseason. Barrow says Drew Dahlman. I say Tyler Lockett. Who will be the first round pick? Barrow says Tyler Warren. I say Walter Nolan. And who will be the second round pick? Barrow says JT, I'll just say T, from Ohio State, defensive end, very talented guy. And I say Oregon offensive tackle, Josh Connerly. We'll see what we're right on, what we're wrong on. We'll do this when we'll do it in June or whenever we're going to do it. But fodder for your people to love or hate or somewhere in between. Those are our offseason predictions.
It'll be interesting to see whether our first round prediction changes when we do this in April.
I think it will.
We'll have the benefit of what they did in free agency, and we'll also have the benefit of who came out and visited them. And that ought to narrow down the list a little bit for us.
And it just get a sense of like what pro days do they show up, all those things that we know and love from the offseason. Will Kyle go to pro days? That will be something, man. That would be a whole new thing.
I feel like he only goes to QB or maybe wide receiver pro days.
But here's Kyle Shanahan.
He's not going to defensive tackle pro days.
The Boise State pro day. What's Kyle Shanahan doing here?
That would be interesting.
That would be a lot. All right, everybody. That's our show for today. I think we're going to get aggregated just a little bit, but that's fine. I'm going to embrace aggregation these days. All right. See you, everybody.